Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on the program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, about every time we go to the doctor, before he leaves the room, he'll take out his stethoscope and listen to our lungs and then come around to the front and we'll listen to our hearts. Suppose you should visit the doctor and he listens to your heart and says, your heart's not good. This would worry us, wouldn't it? Or if he were to say, your lungs don't sound good. Again, that would worry us, wouldn't it? But God has placed within us a faculty called conscience. We should be more concerned about its health and its soundness than about our heart or our lungs. I'll not try to define conscience, but maybe it would be better just to illustrate it. Suppose you're driving your car and you approach a railroad crossing. Suddenly, the warning signals begin to flash and the bells ring. You quickly press your brake pedal, but it goes straight to the floor. So you are involved in a wreck with the train. If you lived to explain, you would say, my brakes were faulty and they didn't stop me. Well, our conscience is our moral brake. If our conscience are what they ought to be, it'll stop or it will warn us when we are tempted to do wrong. If our consciences aren't good and what they ought to be, then we're headed for a wreck. We may be headed for a lot of wrecks. You see, our conscience works positively as well as negatively. It is a starter as well as a stopper. You may have a perfectly good car, runs, everything mechanically operated, the battery is just as if it were brand new. But you know, that car without a battery will not function. And so without a conscience, we would have no power to make us to attend to obligations and to the duties that we have. See, our conscience is God's only means to motivate us. God is not going to force us to start, and God is not going to force us to stop. If we have a good conscience, and that is good by the sense that we learn what God wants us to do, then we will promptly obey, no matter what it is that God commands us to do or not to do. We'll perform all of the duties that we're obligated to do as a Christian. We'll worship, we'll give of our means, we'll help those that are needy, we'll study God's word, we'll pray, we'll do our best to teach others and tell others about the truth. But if we don't have that good conscience, that conscience that comes from learning what God's word teaches, then we, as a good conscience, will avoid whatever we learn that is contrary to God's word, to God's will, such as cursing, for instance. Remember, James chapter 3 and verse 10 says that out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. Better, these things ought not so to be. Certainly when it comes to lying, we know that is contrary to God's will. Ephesians 4 and verse 25, it says, wherefore put away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor. The same goes for cheating or for stealing or for fornication. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10 says, flee fornication. So on and on, if we have a good conscience that has been trained by the word of God, we'll avoid whatever we learn that's contrary to God's word. Now, at the same time, a good conscience is more effective in keeping a person from sinning than an army could be. You know, an army cannot keep out evil thoughts, but a good conscience can. We see this in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. But friends, if we don't have a good conscience, then hearing the word of God will not help us. I believe we're in a day like what Amos the prophet experienced. In Amos 8, we read in verse 11, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." I believe there's a famine in the land today. We have plenty as far as to eat and to drink, but who is it that's really interested in hearing the words of the Lord? You know what destroys the stopping and the starting power of our conscience is to consider the Bible's description of the condition that our consciences can get in. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2, it says that we can sear our conscience. And we know what it means to sear. To sear something, if we sear our fingers on a hot iron or a hot stove, what develops from that is a callus. And the callus renders our fingers no longer sensitive as they used to be. So a conscience that is seared is the same way. It is something now that is no longer sensitive to the things that it used to be. So we can have a seared conscience. 1 Timothy 4, verse 2. We read in the book of Hebrews the statement in chapter 3, when it starts in verse 7, it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness." So we can have a hardness of heart. Again, that's a lot like a seared conscience. It no longer is able to sense or to feel or to be penetrated. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, that a statement that we read beginning with verse 17. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." So we can be past feeling, and this means that a person can commit all kinds of sin and not care. And then it's in Jeremiah, in chapter 8, that we read in verse 12, "Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush." So we see here is that they could not blush. You know, in fact, they might even glory in and make even boast of their wickedness. So these are the things that the Bible teaches that can be the condition of our consciences. And this condition develops as we disregard our consciences. Every time that we yield to temptation over the protest of our conscience, our conscience becomes that much weaker, and it will raise less objection the next time, and yielding to that sin the next time will be easier. Every time we shirk from our duty, it's easier to shirk from our duty the next time. Why? Because our conscience is weakened. One even gets to the point where sin does not seem so bad. Again, a sign of a weakening conscience. And another thing that brings on this state of consciousness is a failure to recognize the deceitfulness of sin. And we're told about that in Hebrews, the third chapter. In Hebrews chapter 3, let's begin our reading with verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Friends, Satan would have you to believe that you can enjoy the pleasures of sin until that you are tired of them, and then you can repent, and then you can turn to God. Be not deceived. Satan knows that if your conscience is seared, if your conscience is hardened, the Word of God loses its appeal. But you know, the function of the conscience is something that is misunderstood. Some tell us that it is a guide. It tells us what's right and wrong. But no, friends, God gave us His Word to tell us what's right and wrong. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. A good conscience is like a good watch. No matter how accurately it runs, it must be set by the right time. Just so, the conscience must be properly educated. And that's where it comes in. See, I believe that what we have looked at today is very important to understand about our consciences. And an important lesson to learn about our conscience is the fact, don't turn a deaf ear to your conscience when it appeals to you yielding to God's will. Train our consciences by the Word of God. Because that's what our consciences are. They are a product of our education. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.